All right, I'm Jason Whitlock. That's Marcellus Wiley, that dude.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to Speak for Yourself, the most fearless show in sports. Coming up, I'll tell you why today was a bad look for Magic Johnson, but we start with the NBA playoffs. Hey, it's the day after the series finale of HBO's popular TV show Games of Thrones. You knew, you had to know that I was going to start today, Speak for Yourself, analogizing the Golden State Warriors to the Stark family.
Yeah.
With Kevin Durant allegedly headed to the New York Knicks, we're in the final season of the Golden State dynasty. We can only hope the dynasty has a more plausible ending than Game of Thrones. Spoiler alert, Grey Worm murders everybody except for the men responsible for murdering his queen. He lets them go free in exchange for an utopian island of eunuchs and women who love foreplay. I digress. We're here to talk about the Warriors, who have a chance to sweep the Portland Trailblazers tonight in Game 4. With Durant injured and sitting, this is not what we expected in the Western Conference Finals. This is quite the plot twist, and it's causing all of us to rethink our previously held opinions on the Warriors. I think it's safe to conclude that KD is Arya Stark. He's the most lethal weapon on the Warriors. His arrival in the Bay killed the Night King, LeBron James. I'm going to classify Klay Thompson as Bran Stark. Everybody says he's really important and critical to the Warriors' success, but I haven't found him all that interesting since season one when the Kingslayer tossed him out of a window. Andre Iguodala's Golden State's trusty wolf ghost. You forget about him until he does something heroic at a critical moment. Where things get interesting is between Steph Curry and Draymond Green. Originally, we thought the Golden State dynasty was about the Splash Brothers, Steph and Klay. These playoffs have made it clear this dynasty is built on the backs of Splash and Brash, Steph and Dre. They are the two foundational pieces of the Warriors dynasty. Steph is Sansa Stark. He was born into royalty. He faced tons of adversity early in his career with ankle injuries. LeBron James abused Steph the way King Joffrey, Ramsay Bolton, and Littlefinger did Sansa. Steph's greatness was momentarily diminished by KD, the same way Arya's heroics diminished Sansa. But at the end of the day, Steph is King of the Bay. And that means Draymond is Golden State's Jon Snow, the guy who grew up believing he was the Warriors' bastard child, only to find out he has King's blood. He's the true heir to the throne. There's no dynasty without Draymond. He cost the Warriors the 2016 NBA Finals when he took the bait from LeBron James and got suspended for Game 5. His maturation over the past three seasons is the reason the Warriors are on the verge of sweeping the Blazers with Durant sidelined. Last week, Draymond called himself the best defensive player in NBA history. That's an exaggeration, but he is the modern-day version of Bill Russell. Draymond's value goes well beyond the stat sheet. In the Western Conference Finals, he's been more impressive and more important than even Steph Curry. All right, joining the desk now are Fox Sports NBA analysts Kendrick Perkins and Katino Mobley. Marcellus, I'll start with you. Who has been more impressive in these Western Conference Finals, Steph or Draymond?
I'd be remiss if I didn't say I need to watch Game of Thrones. I see,
huh? Oh, it's over?
My bad.
You ain't missed nothing.
I noticed.
I didn't watch it either.
Man, come on. One percenters up here. Huh? The only one who didn't watch it. Who's more important for this team? It's obvious. It's Steph Curry. And I give you this simple
sense. In these Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, I know what you're doing. I'm with you, baby. Without KD, you want to go even deeper?
No.
Okay. Come on, y'all. If Draymond disappears, they still have a chance. If Steph disappears, there's no chance for this team. Western Conference Finals, anytime this team plays, especially without Kevin Durant. Draymond is hard to compute. We all know because of defense, pace of play, the numbers don't always show his true value, but some numbers do. So let's go into this with and without KD in terms of Draymond Green and what his numbers are. You get one more point. You get one more rebound, and everything else is fewer or the same. He's no different than he was before KD. What we saw, I know what you're saying. What we saw was an unbelievable triple-double performance in the last game that has made a lot of us prisoners of the moment. I am not trying to diminish Draymond Green. I am trying to highlight how great Steph Curry is for this team, and we've seen his numbers, which support his greatness, but also the fact that he went from being the plan B to the plan A, which is a much more difficult task than going from plan C to plan B and having the opportunity to go back and forth, which Draymond does. He has a luxury that Steph doesn't have and is not afforded.
No.
Oh, really?
Well, the question is, who has been more impressive? That's the question.
Huh?
Draymond Green, without a doubt, has been more impressive. Stephen Curry was being Stephen Curry in the beginning of the season when KD was there. When KD wasn't there, Steph Curry was doing the same thing. Draymond Green wasn't doing this.
He was out of shape.
He's back into his old self. And that makes this team go. So it's like the engine, the car can't go nowhere without the engine or the battery. Just like the gas. Like, I'm telling you, this Draymond Green, if it's not for Draymond Green, Stephen Curry can have, as important as he is, Draymond Green does things like a Kendrick, like a Tony Allen. You know, they do things that make it easier for Stephen Curry to run around like he's crazy and Klay Thompson to run around like he's crazy and guard every from one to the five. That's how important Draymond Green is. So the question is, more impressive. Draymond Green is way more impressive to
man,
me.
Stop. You just rewarded a man for being out of shape early in the season, though. You just said that. You
the
gave
offense.
We talking about right now, Western Conference Finals.
What? The offense is running. He's bringing it up. It's running through Draymond. Kendrick.
Okay, Marcellus, I have to disagree with you for the simple fact that I'm gonna say this first. If you was to take Draymond Green off the Warriors and put him on the Portland Trail Blazers, this team right now, and switch roles, Portland will be up 3-0 right now. Mm. And Draymond Green is the heart and soul, even when Kevin Durant is there, Draymond Green is the heart and soul of the Golden State Warriors. Yep. He's everything that you want in a basketball player. He does everything. And I'm not just talking about the stats. Forget the stats. I'm talking about all the things that you want in a basketball player. He passes well. He rebounds well. He can handle the ball well. His basketball IQ is through the roof. He is the heart and soul of this team. And without Draymond Green, the Warriors dynasty would not even be in existence. I'm telling you, he brings so much to the game. And I feel Draymond about him saying, hey, I might be the best defensive player ever to play the game. Because for the simple fact, if you watch him, he goes 1 through 5. I watched him talk Steph through a defensive coverage that had nothing to do with him. You know? And he's the heart and soul of this team. He does everything. He does everything.
Every single thing.
Just put up points. He does everything.
I don't want to remotely diminish Steph Curry.
We're getting there.
He's tremendous.
We're good.
But in terms of this Western Conference Finals,
these three games,
who's been most impressive? I just think the reason they're able to survive without KD is more because of what we're getting from Draymond. Steph is putting up numbers, but he's not shooting a phenomenal percentage. Mm. The offense, in terms of, I'm looking at it now, it's like, okay, they're going to have a problem when KD comes back, because in no way should they let KD bring it up and run the offense through him when they have a choice of running it through Draymond and continuing with the movement
and
the ball movement.
They're more dangerous. With Draymond Green.
Hey, bring it. 3-on-1 is what I like. I'm being on this island by myself. I'm coming out blazing. Y'all ready?
And you 3-on-1, you're going to get dunked on.
You ready?
I'm telling
you ready? I got one for each one of y'all. Let me start with you, Columbo. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Is the game plan written for Draymond to get the ball out of his hands or get the ball out of Steph's hands with the trap? Oh, it's for Steph to get it out of his hands, which gives Draymond that freedom. So that's why you're going to see Draymond push the pace of play and have the ball in his hand and have those opportunities. The game is not won by stats, huh, Chris, Mr. Kendrick Perkins? Last time I checked, there's a final score. That is a stat. Who had more buckets? Who did not? Oh, you're saying Steph didn't shoot a major percentage. 48% from the field and 42% from three. Not amazing? I'm just going to let you. Anybody else? Y'all done? Anybody else want to say, this is what happens when you say impressive. It's based off of expectations. We all got lulled to sleep by Draymond being out of shape or being inconsistent or being emotional. And even Draymond, who I love, has come on record and said, I am playing a smarter brand of basketball. I have contained my emotions. I have lost 25 pounds.
There you
go. So guess what? I live in the absolute world.
Keyword is impressive.
No.
The Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
Who more impressive?
Yeah.
We've seen Steph do 36. We're watching Draymond Green when the best player in the world is sitting down. We're watching Draymond Green take over this whole series.
And now you're not impressed by someone who didn't get bored with success. See, this is the greatness of the greats. Consistent excellence. Both. Why are we now not impressed by consistent excellence? Do you know he's the first guy in NBA history to score 35-5 and win those three games in the conference finals?
Marcellus, though, we're injecting into the conversation. Both of them have been very impressive.
No, I'm okay. Yes,
both
I'm not
of
taking
them
nothing away.
We're
not taking
okay, y'all on my island now.
No, I'm
which
still on my
has
island.
Been more yeah. impressive I'm still, is the
more?
Difference. Yes.
Yes.
And, again, and the reason why is I'm just telling you, we watched KD go on a run against the Clippers where we were like, oh, my God.
Yes.
He's the greatest player. And we thought him getting hurt was like, oh, my God, this is going to hurt them. And they haven't been hurt at all because Draymond is the key cog in them going back to the offense that they should be running all the time,
exactly.
even when KD's here. This is a better version. You drop KD into this version of the Golden State Warriors, and they never lose a game.
Never
and,
lose.
And Marcellus, just to go back to, since you want to bring up stats.
I have to.
How about we bring up these stats? Do you know who's leading the NBA playoffs in assists? Draymond Green. Right. Do you know who's leading the NBA in block shots? Draymond Green. Mm. So we could talk about stats.
And intangibles are something totally different. Changing shots, rotating over,
respect.
Making them think something else. Listen, and I'm not – Stephen Curry is amazing.
It's amazing. I
but
agree.
Guess what? If Draymond Green don't play like this, you're going to really need KD.
And then on top of that, one second.
Oh, no, get you.
Okay, so at the end of the day, one thing you can't teach is tenacity. And that's what Draymond Green brings to Golden State. Mm-hmm. He brings tenacity, and he gives them swagger. Mm. Let Draymond Green get hurt right now and see how much swag Steph and it's a lot different.
Let's transition to a different conversation. The Blazers tonight, down 0-3. Do we think they put up a fight tonight, or do they take the Dame Lillard injury excuse and just roll over?
You mean the Dame Lillard reason, not excuse.
I agree.
You agree?
I agree. That's a reason.
Anybody ever had rib issues?
What?
Me?
They say you can't breathe, let alone.
You can't breathe.
It's ridiculous.
No, it's
Shaquille O'Neal broke mine.
Broke mine, too.
Talk. I'm listening.
Karl Malone got me.
Does it affect your game?
Yes.
The breathing, you like you're about to die. I'm telling you right now.
It's not an excuse. It is a reason.
It is a reason. And it's backfiring by him not acknowledging that that's the reason why he's not playing well. As well as, look, I had a bad series against Denver. We understand. Since the big game 7 shot, we haven't seen the best of Dame Lillard for whatever reason. But it backfires in a team concept because the last thing I want to think about my leader is that, oh, you're not hurt? And they're just shutting you down. Because now I'm looking at you like, well, if you're waving a white flag because you're saying it's not physical, it's what they're doing, then how do we fall in line? So right now I'm looking at this situation, and I'm not going to forget who Portland is. This is a team that Golden State has now have 11-1 record against in the playoffs the last 3 years. They have their number. This is also the same road that the Clippers were trying to get. Instead of Golden State round one, they wanted Denver because the winner of that series is going to be a lesser opponent than what we saw in Golden State Houston. Follow me here. Mm-hmm. Everyone said that the conference finals or maybe the NBA finals were in the second round Golden State Houston. Mm-hmm. We are watching a lesser opponent that the other team has their number and their star player is not playing like a star. Yeah, it's obvious what's happening.
You know, for me, it's Blazers, yes, they finished third or fourth in the West. I just don't understand, like, why people can't see that how good Golden State is. You have Draymond Green, and you have Iguodala and Klay Thompson. That's 6'7" plus, and they're switching on pick and rolls. So Damian Lillard, what you did in the first round, right? Just Paul George being that 6'7" guy as a defender. Now in the second round, you come in. Denver, yeah, you're athletic. But you only had Craig to really defend you, and he's 6'8". They used to do the same thing with Chris Paul. Put a way bigger defender on you and make you take tough shots. So that's the whole scheme. Because if Portland would have matched up with anybody else, they would have a better chance. But because it's Golden State, and Golden State switched everything with Shaun Livingston, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Iguodala, like, that's a harder team to get your shot off on, and shooting 30 feet from the basket is not going to make you. It's not going to help you win games. I don't care how efficient you think you
are. They guard them with length. You're right.
Well, I look at it like this, okay? I think the Blazers has their season is a success in their eyes. And I seen that.
Satisfied.
Yeah, they're satisfied, and I seen this after game 7 against Denver. You know, the emotion of Dame Lillard after Game 7. Mm-hmm. I think they are happy just to be in the Western Conference mm-hmm. Finals mm-hmm. from being swept last year. Let's not forget that, you know, I know Golden State is playing great. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. They're playing great basketball without Kevin Durant. But also, let's not forget that this same Portland team got swept last year by the New Orleans Pelicans. So mm-hmm. let's not just act like this just all of a sudden just this elite team like, you know, we expect them to be. Now, congrats to Portland for knocking off OKC, mm-hmm. going in there and getting a Game 7. But I think they lost the battle before Game 1 even started.
Because
they was already content with being there.
I do think we're going to see Dame have his best game in this series. I just don't think it'll matter.
No.
I think he's going to try to go out on his sword. I do think he's going to put up a better effort. There were some plays in Game 3 where he just let Steph go to the basket, had a chance to challenge him. And at that time, I wasn't thinking about the ribs. But now that I am, again, he's going to go out on his sword tonight, but he's going out.
Hey, guys. Jason Whitlock here. Thank you for listening to the Speak for Yourself podcast. If you like what you hear, then you should take a minute to check out the Maybe I'm Crazy podcast hosted by The Herd's very own Joy Taylor. On the Maybe I'm Crazy podcast, you'll tap into a different take on the world of sports. Joy will break down all the biggest stories from the NFL, NBA, culture, in and out of sports, and everything in between. So subscribe now for a weekly episode of Maybe I'm Crazy every Tuesday night on your favorite podcast platform. Now back to the show.
Time now for a big story brought to you by Fisher Investments. All right, let's move to Magic Johnson, who hung the Lakers' dirty laundry out for all the world to see in an interview on ESPN today. Magic had a litany of complaints about his time as team president, including not feeling empowered and not having enough time with his family. But he also talked about rumors of backstabbing in the organization, saying, quote, "I started hearing Magic, you are not working hard enough. Magic's not in the office. People around the Lakers office were telling me Rob Pelinka was saying things and I didn't like those things being said behind my back, that I wasn't in the office enough. If you're going to talk betrayal, it's only with Rob." All right, I watched the majority of this interview. And again, Magic Johnson's picture hangs in my apartment. Magic's my favorite athlete of all time, he and Tiger Woods. But I watched this interview and Magic just kept coming. It wasn't fun. It wasn't fun. And I was like, who told you leadership was fun? Who told you corporate America and all the stuff off the court was fun? And so this is not a great look for Magic Johnson. On the day the Lakers are announcing Frank Vogel as their coach, having a press conference, you preempted by going on ESPN and undermining everything the Lakers are trying to do. But you've got a smile on your face. I'm a Laker fan, and I'm a supporter, and I want him to do well, and Jeannie's my sister. But on this day, I'm going to be bigger than their announcement of a head coach. I'm going to submarine and try to destroy Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss. Not a great look, in my opinion.
I must double down on what I said initially when Magic Johnson first stepped down, that Magic Johnson jumped on a grenade that was caused by all the infighting within the Lakers. And he was big enough to deal with all the shrapnel. He was big enough to deal with all that would come from that and that fallout. And today confirmed that for me. Just to preface everything, we know in this business that we have to book guests. And Magic especially has to be booked with that schedule.
Yeah.
So Magic didn't say, oh, when's the Frank Vogel press conference? Let me preempt that. Stephen A. said that they had this well confirmed before Frank Vogel was announced, that part. But Magic has to also take some blame in this situation, knowing that there was a position created just for him. There was no such thing as Lakers president of basketball operations before Magic Johnson. Jeannie didn't have that vision. Jeannie didn't have that construction. But now let's lay it out. The principles in this conversation. Jeannie Buss, do you trust her more than Magic Johnson? Jeannie Buss, the same person who backstabbed, maybe called out her brother through emails, through written transcript. See what I did to my brother. Everybody else better look out. This is Jeannie Buss. Or Rob Pelinka, who Magic even said today, I was warned. Soon as I took the job, look out for Rob Pelinka. Every agent out there in the business calling me, people telling me about his reputation, or Magic Johnson. So this just confirms what I thought initially. Magic was big enough to let everybody have their opinions and talk about what happened with the Lakers, but history has shown and common denominators are starting to be in place where there's been infighting without and with Magic Johnson. He just wanted to disappear from that situation.
You know, for me, I've kind of like a conspiracy theorist, right? So Rob Pelinka, everyone knows how Rob Pelinka is as an individual when he was an agent, being a snake, this, that, whatever. I just don't, there's more to blame than just Magic. Now, Magic, how you handled this, whether it's having an interview today or not telling LeBron, not even giving LeBron a conversation, this, that, whatever. Okay, I think you should have done something different.
Yeah,
okay?
With you.
Now, who else is involved with this to me? This is just to me. Rob Pelinka, Magic, you didn't pick Rob Pelinka. Jeannie, you picked Rob Pelinka. Who else picked Rob Pelinka?
Kobe.
Kobe picked Rob Pelinka. Mm. Rob Pelinka talks to Kobe. So could it be that those two speak so much that Rob Pelinka can pillow talk with Kobe about certain things? I don't know. That's just what I'm thinking. Because how do you have that much? Magic Johnson is he's the oracle of all of them, right? How, you have that much courage to speak about a man like that? Why do you have that courage? Because I got backing.
Yeah.
I have backing. That's just my opinion. Mm. So now you want to come out, and now it's all this dysfunction. It's been dysfunctional.
Yes.
And you have the Wizard of Oz or Geppetto on the back speaking about certain things that ain't nobody going to sit and blame or even accuse or talk about. Mm.
So I'm going to take another approach. This is the problem that I have with the NBA, some of the NBA organizations, period. Hiring friends and not hiring the right people for the job. Mm. And this is what you get. So
who's the friend? Pelinka or Magic?
Both. Both are friends in some capacity.
Yep.
So instead of...
Because Jenny and Magic, Magic was 19,
right.
Jenny was
17. So at the end of the day, this is what you get. It's a recipe for disaster. Mm-hmm. Instead of going out there and hiring guys that's deserving for this job and that's out there that's great GMs, you hire people that's your friends. Oh, he was part of the organization. Oh, he's connected to Kobe Bryant. Mm-hmm. And it's a recipe for a disaster. Like Kat said, everybody knew about Rob Pelinka's character. Everybody knew about it before he even took the position. Yep. He was one guy I knew, oh, don't trust him. Don't trust him. Yep. Don't trust him. Mm. And he backstabbed Magic. And at the end of the day, I feel Magic about coming out and saying it for the simple fact that nobody stepped up and took up for Magic. He took heat for the last month about this situation. And nobody stepped up from Jenny to anybody and stepped up about the situation.
Guys, I want to add something, and I don't hear me in context. I'm not remotely, I'm just trying to keep it real.
No,
you
go
guys
ahead.
Are great athletes that understand the athletic world from the lane that you guys came up
with. Right, right.
From a corporate America working up the ladder status, this is my background. And I've known Rob Pelinka since he was a kid at the University of Michigan playing with the Fab Five, covered the team. I don't personally like Rob Pelinka, personally. I got a long history. He represented Derek Fisher. Go look up me and Derek Fisher. Rob Pelinka lives out here in California. We've seen each other. I used to work out at a gym where his offices were. The whole snake thing, I get it. But in corporate America, loaded with snakes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
that's a fact.
Just
that's
because
a fact.
You see a snake, that's doesn't a fact. Mean, oh, I'm running, I'm gonna get out of the house.
We're moving.
There's a snake.
Yeah.
Right. No. You chop snakes' heads off. That's the job. And for Magic to sit on TV, oh, it wasn't fun. Well, who told him it was fun?
Well, you know what the Lakers should have done?
I like that.
You know what should have happened? Since you said, I agree with you that. I agree with you on chopping the snake head off. When Magic resigned and stepped down, guess what? The Lakers should have fired Rob Pelinka.
No. If Magic were the man from the job, he'd have the knife and he'd chop the snake's head off. He ran up out of there. And so when you get, what Magic said, if you watch this whole interview, you get in this deal, we had this meeting, and I wanted to do this, and again, he's in the Olympics of ideas and debate in corporate America. Who wins the debate in them closed door meetings?
I don't think
if he can't win it, and he's mad because Rob Pelinka did win it.
Nope.
That means you ain't man enough.
But I agree. But it's hard because Magic in a tough situation.
No, it's hard.
Because listen, Magic in a tough situation, knowing that you got Rob Pelinka got Kobe Bryant backing him up. That's a tough situation.
There's some anacondas out there, isn't it? And you got to chop their heads off too.
Let's stay in the context of that. I like that. I want to provide a little perspective to the context. That was beautiful.
What?
Here's the problem though. Magic even said today, I was on a 3-year plan. 3-year plan, and I was going to go in, get this thing stabilized. Rob, I'm promoting you. It's yours. Rob wanted to jumpstart that process, backstabbing it, accelerating.
But why, Rob, has that confidence?
Okay, here's the go. All right, but let me say this.
Why somebody going to tell you about me?
But let me say this.
I don't want to hear what they said about me. I want to know why you're so comfortable talking about me to you.
No, that's not the issue. The issue is this. Magic's like, this ain't my house. I showed up here just to get some things in order. This is Jeannie's house. So guess what? When I see a snake in the backyard, I'm going to let you know, Jeannie, I came here to vacation. It's supposed to be fun, and it's a snake back there. Jeannie like, I ain't doing nothing with it. Guess what you would do? This ain't your house. You ain't got to go in the backyard and deal with them snakes. You dip. And Magic said, you know what? I tried to save you. I tried to warn you.
You know why you dip?
Because it ain't yours.
It's not yours. And guess what? You ain't that as much powerful as we think you are. Somebody else, like I said, Chappelle's behind there.
Kobe.
You better not touch this snake. You can forget about whatever's going on.
And so, look. Again, and Magic can go on TV and go at Pelinka and not be man enough to talk about the anaconda that's really back there.
Right.
It's Kobe.
Right.
And so, look, go attack Rob Pelinka. That's easy.
Uh-huh.
Don't attack, play nice, play patty cake with LeBron James. Because trust, that's another snake. Yeah, it's all snakes. Yeah.
Kobe in L.A. is like Beyonce, the beehive kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You better leave him alone.
Look, you being real tough up here, because look, I don't care who put the snake in the backyard. Kobe put Rob in the backyard. I'm on the Airbnb. I ain't going back there to wrestle with
it.
I'm Magic. I'm dipping. I'm on vacation.
And if I'm NBA ownership, this is what, and other ownership, this is why I don't hire multi-millionaire athletes to come in because they don't want to fight them
Or hire your friend.
Hire the best man for the job.
I'm going to just tell you a guy that can handle it and has shown it. And people love to criticize him or whatever. But Michael Jordan's been through all of this. Mm-hmm. The Wizards ran him up out. Mm. He didn't handle it like that. Michael Jordan, I'm going to get the Charlotte. And y'all can say what y'all want about him running the Charlotte Hornets and he ain't one and he's a bad executive. But Michael Jordan is man enough for these jobs. He ain't running up out of there scared and getting on TV and pointing a finger and blaming everybody. It just wasn't fun. These jobs ain't fun.
I get it.
If you want fun, go to Disney World.
I get it.
Joined now by Fox Sports golf analyst Joel Klatt.
Right.
He'll be covering U.S. Open for us next month.
Yep.
We're also joined by radio host and longtime NFL player Jeff Schwartz. Let's move to the PGA Championship, where Brooks Koepka stumbled down the stretch but still took home his second straight PGA Championship, holding off his good friend Dustin Johnson on a blustery day at Bethpage Black. Koepka has now won 4 of the last 8 majors he's played, and his dominance is starting to draw comparisons to peak Tiger Woods, something that Koepka himself saw coming several years ago as he told his old college coach back in 2015, quote, I'm stronger than Tiger is, I'm longer, I hit it straighter, I have a better short game than he does, and I putt it better. How is Tiger ever going to beat me? All right, the question here is it fair to compare Brooks Koepka to Tiger Woods?
I'm gonna be quick, absolutely. And especially in sports like a baseball, like a golf, where it's really based on numbers and even a grand number of majors. Absolutely. Here's the short. Tiger Woods, it took him around 90 career starts before he won his 4th major championship. 90. Koepka, 15. Okay, Koepka is at 15 career start. He's already won 4 majors. And think about this now. If you look at Koepka, what he's doing right now in terms of win percentage in his last 8 majors, he's won 4 of them. So that win percentage is not going to be the same, but if he continues at this pace, why is it absurd for us to put him in that comparison?
Well, I mean, I get it. There's been a short period of time where I think that you can compare him. Tiger won 5 of 8 majors. If you're going, you know, through that stretch where he won 4 in a row and then he came back the next year in 2002 and won a couple more. The issue with this question for me is that Tiger's level of dominance was was so great that I think it's really hard to compare Brooks and what he was able to do. Even this week, in a weekend, I thought he was really dominant, in particular for three rounds outside of his back nine on Sunday at Bethpage Black. But here's the problem. If you look at what Tiger did in 2000, most consider it the greatest golf ever played in the history of the sport. He went bogey-free on Sunday at that U.S. Open in order to win by 15 shots. That's insane. Bogey-free. Yeah. So he didn't have that stretch where he was just kind of limping in and trying to get the trophy. He beat the top 10 that week by 19. Just to give you a sense of how difficult Pebble played that week, Vijay Singh finished tied for 7th in 2000. Guess what he shot on Saturday? Tied for 7th. 80. He shot an 80 on Saturday, and Tiger's out there bogey free on Sunday. The 97 Masters, he was 3 under on the back nine, won by 16 shots over the top 10. Koepka was only 9 ahead of the top 10. He was +4 on his back nine. The level of dominance wasn't even close. Now, win percentage wise, he's right there in his last 8 majors, but I don't think it's sustainable.
I know majors are very important here. Koepka has said all that matters to him really is winning majors. But I know Tiger started much earlier than Koepka, but Tiger had 46 wins total on the PGA Tour by age 30. Koepka only has 6. Now, 4 of those are majors, which are important, of course. Yeah. But your point, Joel, the dominance of Tiger Woods, 10 majors before 30 years old, is not even close to what Koepka has done. Now, a late bloomer, I get that. But also the charisma of Tiger, I think, carries him a lot more than Koepka. There's, for some reason, a disconnect between Koepka and the fans that we didn't have with Tiger when he was winning.
Well, one, Koepka is not a huge golf enthusiast, to be honest with you.
Right.
He's a great player. He's not a golf historian. He kind of rejects being a golf nerd. I think that puts some distance between him and the traditional golf people. I think that's why he hasn't been celebrated as much in the media, from golf media, because he's kind of off-putting to these guys. I think in major championships, it's fair to compare Koepka to Tiger. I think the weather yesterday is the only thing that really took Koepka out of his mindset of search and destroy. I think if he had got the kind of perfect weather Tiger had in 2000 at Pebble Beach, I walked every hole of that Sunday with Tiger on that Sunday at Pebble Beach. I think if Koepka had that kind of weather, he would have destroyed this field. The difference between...
But where was everybody else's 67 on that Sunday at Pebble? You say the weather's perfect. I walked with... Where were all the other players' 67s?
Got it. Look,
Tiger, you know, where were the other bogey-free rounds?
Tiger was a phenomenon at that time. I think Tiger got out there and guys just gave up. I get it. The difference between Koepka and Tiger at this point is Koepka doesn't want the responsibility of carrying the tour. That's why he doesn't play as hard, as focused, in the regular season, the PGA Tour events. That's why he doesn't win there and he's not as dominant. Tiger carried this whole thing for damn near 2 decades.
Maybe still does.
Yeah, and still, no, he does, definitely still does. Because I, and the reason I said on Wednesday Tiger was gonna miss the cut is because I don't think Tiger really wanted to play. He would have played a warm-up if he thought he could. He would have played a match, a tournament, but between the Masters and the PGA, if he really thought he had a chance at winning here. Tiger did it out of responsibility. The ratings are better when I'm there. I need to be there. I'm going to give it a whirl. But this guy is every bit right now as good as Tiger was when Tiger was in his prime.
Isn't that better calculus, though, if Tiger is carrying the load every single week and we saw what we did to him at the top? For other outside golf reasons, personal reasons, then what does it all matter?
Yeah.
What's it all about? And if it's only about this, then let me just seek for that and nothing else really matters.
Yeah, unless
you like Koepka's approach.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Don't.
I feel like you have to be a complete golfer. You have to do everything else. That's why Tiger was so dominant. He won not every single week, obviously, but a lot of weeks he went out and people feared him. Do people fear on the course, fear Koepka like they fear Tiger?
I do, yes.
I don't think that they do.
But not every week either.
I don't think they do, and it's because of the up and down. And you say you kind of praise his approach. It's certainly a different approach. Just to give you another sense of how dominant Tiger was all the time, every time a peg was in the ground, this guy didn't miss a cut for 8 years, I mean, Koepka's going to miss a cut or two or three every single year.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just so different. To some degree, when we're talking about majors and who the favorites are, I think it's easy to say, Koepka's right there. Let's compare him to maybe the dominance for Woods. But just as a pure golfer, I think it's almost irresponsible at times to compare anybody to what Woods was doing. You know, from 99 to 2008, that was astonishing. That's astonishing stuff.
Here's why I'm going to disagree with the word irresponsible. It's our job to be ahead of the conversation. And so all it is a prediction. I think this dude, Brooks Koepka, is different up here mentally and physically as a golfer.
So put a number on that, right?
I think he's going to win 10 majors.
10 majors.
I think he's going to, and he's going to do it over, he's at 4 now. I think he'll win another 6 over the next 4 years. He'll be at 10 at age 34.
The problem is we do that. We've done this with a lot of players.
Rory.
Rory, we're like, Rory's going to get to 10.
I did not do it.
Jordan Spieth, he's going to get to 10. And
I wasn't one of those
pocketed
people.
Pocketed success. I get it. I'm just saying
this
that
guy's different.
We've seen pockets. You might be right. You might be right. And you know what? For the sport, I hope that you are right so that we can get some of these showdowns that we – hope we're coming down the line.
All right, before we go, I'd like to offer a personal thank you to heavyweight boxer Deontay Wilder. His brilliant, devastating, and shocking first-round knockout of Dominique Brazil Saturday night exposed the hypocrisy of those who constantly whine about the brutality of my favorite sport, football. No sports fan pretended to be sickened when Wilder's right hand knocked Brazil into the concussion protocol. In fact, the near-lethal blow was celebrated wildly across the internet. Bleacher Report cooed that Wilder put Brazil to sleep and snatched his soul, and they received more than 100,000 likes for it on their Twitter summations. SportsCenter wished Brazil goodnight. The ESPN feed said the brutal knockout was even better in slow motion. So did Complex Sports. Showtime had the best tweet, though. It simply asked, "Are you not entertained?" Hell yes, I was. And so were a lot of you. Boxing is the ultimate combat sport. Football is just a padded team version. The spectators and the combatants know the consequences. Could we please stop all the moralizing over football? I'm not saying we should return to the glory days of Dick Butkus, Dinkin' Jones, and Ronnie Lott. I'm fine with rules that restrict contact to the head and unnecessary blindside hits. But let's quit pretending to be ashamed of football's physicality. The game has consequences and risks. Most things of value do. Hell, love is more dangerous and more high risk than football. You won't see any media outlets demonizing Tinder, Christian Mingle, and IG direct messages. Why is it appropriate to celebrate Wilder's blow, but every time someone gets jacked up on a professional football field, we have to hold our breath and pretend we've just seen something obscene? No one cares about Brazil's brain. Is the CTE movement sports versions of Black Lives Matter? We pick and choose which lives really matter based on the perpetrator and the circumstances? There's a pecking order of concern established by the self-appointed elite media gatekeepers. Those gatekeepers are hypocrites. I'm not. I can't wait to watch Wilder's next fight, and I can't wait for football season. Joel Klatt and Jeff Schwartz are back with us. Time to get antisocial.
I'm good. I'm not.
That means be quiet.
I don't even have Facebook.
That hair didn't even move.
It's impervious to that right there.
All right, Darnell Smith, our social media manager, what's popping? Next.
Yes, sir. We're going to start off in the links where Brooks Koepka just dominated at the PGA Championship over the weekend.
Easy money.
But that's not the story that really had the Twitter streets buzzing as Koepka was headed towards the clubhouse to prepare for his final round of the championship. His girlfriend leaned in for a kiss, and Koepka straight up denied her. Of course, Twitter loved this, and the video's going viral all over social media. But guys, did this deserve as much attention as it got?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Even more.
Why?
Yes.
It's she so ignored. Good. He blew her. She tried to put his arm around her waist. She didn't take. He blew that off. She didn't take the hint.
She didn't take the hint.
I mean,
yeah.
At the risk of taking this too deep in the anti-social,
let's do it.
Relationships, they're just, you know, that's just his girlfriend, right?
Even,
yes.
I wouldn't want my wife around in that moment for her sake, because relationships demand that every setting is somewhat of like an emotional beneficial space, right? Where you're aware of their needs, they're aware of your needs. But when you're an athlete like Brooks Koepka, he's going into the most selfish space you can possibly be, where the world has to revolve around you.
Yeah.
That's why I don't want significant others around in that moment.
Yeah,
that's not beneficial to them.
That's so good.
like, she knew the camera was on her.
Yeah.
She knew people were watching. She's the girlfriend, right? She wanted a kiss. And the muttering of what she said under her breath when she turned away. But I also have done this to my wife one time in the tunnel of a game, and she has not let it down. Like, I didn't, like, I didn't give her, like, a hug and kiss. Like, I didn't acknowledge her. So I get the feeling of that. But it's the best video for social media. It's a quick bite. You can comment on it and move on.
Yeah, but why is it different? So I want to separate the
correct
conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I should have.
There are levels to this. Yes. Girlfriend, it's like, she didn't take the hint from Brooke.
Yes.
And he took the hint from Joel Embiid, who was crying with his girlfriend. Yes. And social media lit him up like, one, girlfriend?
Yeah.
Former athletes up here, okay? Girlfriends, yep. You there's gotta graduate.
I wasn't married at the time to my wife, too.
Okay, there you go. Yes, that's part of the graduation. That's maturation right. Process.
Yeah, not
Nah, girlfriend. Nah, I ain't give you that. Right,
moving on to Big Ben, who has been heavily criticized for not being the best leader in the locker room. But last week, he wanted to show his team spirit by hosting the Steelers' offensive skill players at his lake house in Georgia. Several teammates in attendance posted videos online showing James Conner, Juju Smith-Schuster, and the rest of the team having a great time together. Ben also apologized to Antonio Brown for calling him out on his radio show last year, saying, quote, "That's the thing about media and social media. As soon as you say sorry, it only goes so far. You can't take it back. And I wish I could, because if that's what ruined our friendship and relationship, I'm truly and genuinely sorry about that." Antonio Brown just responded to Ben's apology with Two-Face. Should Big Ben respond to AB?
No, and because one, Antonio leaves himself an out. He didn't put Big Ben's name in it, but clearly he's talking about it.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
But I actually believe Ben's being sincere here. I believe he regrets it. This isn't the first time. This isn't the first time he's had his teammates in his lake house.
This ain't?
No, it's not.
Okay. That's what I want to see, the t-shirts. Did it say first annual?
No.
Did it say inaugural?
They got video from 2015.
So it's not the first time. No. So, all right. So Antonio, calm down on this one. Like, let him be you. Thank Antonio for bringing it all to light so that this continues and this even is highlighted. But no, it's not about Antonio Brown right now in this moment.
Yeah, and Ben should not respond.
No,
like Antonio's got the out, obviously, and say, hey, I wasn't referring to him. There's too much to get him. Just continue to post videos about your annual.
It better be annual. We're the old t-shirts. I need to see
it. It was in 2015. It's now back. He heard the criticism.
What do you mean back? Where'd it go?
It was in 2015. It went away.
Where'd it go? They won a Super Bowl between them?
It's now back publicly. It's publicly
99.
Back. He heard the criticism.
It's publicly back.
It's publicly back. He heard the criticism. He's trying to be a better leader. He should not answer Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown, we realize that he's a big problem. Like, I'm glad for Ben and the Steelers. He is off that team. I love the Steelers this year, by the way.
I wonder if phones out was a requirement from Ben. Guys, you can come on my boat. Get your phones out.
Snapchat. Get on Snapchat.
Listen, Ben's reputation previously with the Steelers was like he was the best player to hang out with.
Oh, yeah.
He kicked
it
with That's all true. Of his
oh,
teammates.
Oh, yeah, he does. All.
Then he got into all that trouble. Got married and shut it down. Yeah.
As you should.
And shut it down. And so it's like, you can't let your teammates draw you into that trouble. Mm-hmm. And so he's married. He's trying to calm it down. And so now, he's brought it back appropriately.
Also, with the new CBA, veterans are veterans now. The league has gotten younger. So these guys that do get to stick around into their mid and late 30s, they are so far removed from the majority of the roster versus what we saw, 10 and 12 years ago.
Point.
There is an element to that that's going on just in the demographics of the league right now.
Yeah, and stay in the same place. That's key right there, same organization.
I was 29 in my eighth year, entering my ninth year in Detroit. I was older guy in the room by 4 years.
Crazy. Yeah, they called me old man. I was in my 31, and I was the old man. They called me Reverend on the team. I was 31.
Rev.
What the hell is this? I'm the oldest dude on the team.
Rev.
I'm with him, Rev.
You get Ben's age, in particular, you get my age. You don't want to be around drunk people. Seriously.
Unless you're drunk, too.
Unless
I get it. He got married. Right. Slowed it down. Can't
all right, time now for Darnell's question of the day. Darnell, take it away.
All right, guys. So this weekend, HBCU Morehouse College had their graduation ceremony, and Commencement Speaker Robert Smith had a surprise for the students, announcing that he would pay off all the student loan debt for the entire class of 2019. Mm. Obviously, this is a huge blessing. And one of our fans from Twitter, Mr. Greg Boatstatter, wanted me to ask you guys, what's the greatest act of kindness you've ever done or experienced?
I'm going to go last because Joel's here, and my answer is probably going to be offensive to Joel. And so
I want to hear this.
Offensive.
I want to hear this first.
Okay, I'll go. Listen, and I don't. I took it a little step further from kindness, and I instituted selfless. And I just, You know, I see little random acts of kindness all the time, but the grandest act of selflessness that I see on a day-to-day basis is when young people in our country volunteer for the armed services. And they go into the military to protect our freedoms, protect our Constitution. That's what came to my mind immediately.
Great decision, me going last. I wouldn't want you to say that after I say mine. But that's very good. That's very good.
Man,
very
you set the tone there. I know.
I'm like, I've been to some charity events where money was donated.
I've eaten a chicken at the event. I've given tons of time, talent, treasure, but many fewer commas and zeros than Robert Smith just did, obviously. I would tell you the one that hit me the hardest, because I've done a lot of things, and I don't like to be the guy that's like, here's my receipt and my record of it. The one that hit me the hardest, and it's kind of a little name drop, I was at this concert, and Black Eyed Peas, and Taboo is one of the members in the group. And he comes to me and he says, I used to listen to your radio show when I was recovering from cancer, and now I'm cancer-free. I don't know why. I've never been in that space before where, like, someone's like, my life was not saved, but certainly improved and helped because of something you've
how
done.
Cool.
So that hit me. That was a good moment.
Yeah.
To me, I thought of Chris Long. He just retired. Obviously, what he's done with Water Boys to bring water to Tanzania, I believe it is. And I think he's over 50 wells now to just bring drinking water to people. There is water under Africa. You have to go down and get it, obviously. He's donated the money for that to make that happen. Makes a trip there every year. His legacy in the NFL will be really not really about his playing days. It'll be everything he did kind of using his platform, and then obviously afterwards.
Yeah, big time.
I'm going to give a serious answer first. You guys, Marcellus and Darnell, have seen my lawyer's family come out here, the May family.
Oh, yeah.
And very close to them. But I would say 10, 12 years ago, we were very close, but it went to another level. My mother is out in Las Vegas with her friends, and something goes on with my mother's eye. And my mother calls me in a panic. It's her eye is injured. We don't know what's happening. My lawyer's family jumped in as if their mother was injured, called a doctor that they knew was an eye specialist, things like that. It took our relationship. And yeah, they were relatively close with my mother at that time.
Yeah.
But it took our relationship to a whole different level to see somebody like that. Because I was in a panic as my mother.
Sure.
They jumped in and quarterbacked the thing and helped me get through that, helped my mother through that process. One of the greatest acts I've ever been seen. The only thing that tops that, sorry for saying this,
Joel. Here it comes.
First woman I ever slept with. What a great act of kindness. Because I didn't know what the hell I was doing.
That's a gift. No receipt.
There's no way you could have followed that with that.
Jeff Schwartz is back with us. Let's move to Las Vegas, where TMZ captured Ezekiel Elliott on camera being handcuffed at the EDC Music Festival over the weekend. The video shows Zeke having a dispute with his girlfriend and trying to block her from leaving with his body. He also gets in the face of a security guard and knocks him to the ground. Despite being detained, Zeke was not arrested or charged with any crime. All right, should the Cowboys be concerned about this video?
Absolutely. To sum up what a behavior therapist told me once, is that you got to get out of the right and the wrong mindset in terms of behavior and get into the preferred. You can see Zeke right now is trying to do the right thing by not putting his hands on the lady, by not actually shoving the security guards. But he's still in that same mindset of, this is better behavior, right behavior, because it's not wrong. The problem is, what's preferred, Zeke? What's preferred is let the lady go. You have her number, obviously. You have some connection with her. You'll get in touch with her at another time when you calm down. What's preferred is not to get into these disputes because of the optics. So just giving him the same advice I was giving at one time, and you got to go through your own match.
Awesome advice. Awesome.
Get into that zone.
They have to be concerned about it because they're going to pay him a lot of money. And to your point, is that You can still have fun, Zeke. You got to make sure the cameras are sort of off you, right? Like, you can still have fun at an event like this. Look, my wife went to EDC last year. I was supposed to go this year. I didn't make it there. But you can have a VIP experience and not be anywhere near cameras. And you can still have fun, but keep yourself out of the limelight. They're going to try to pay you a lot of money. And I'd argue Zeke Elliott is the only running back in the National Football League that really, truly matters to an offense. Like, he is the Cowboys' offense, and he's got to do a better job of making sure he stays out of these situations so they feel comfortable paying him. It's okay to have fun. No one's saying don't go to EDC and enjoy yourself, but
I'm
just
saying
be
don't
smart
go to EDC.
What's the difference between going to a club till 3 a.m. or going to EDC?
Well,
Because you can do it VIP. I'm telling you. I mean,
No. That's right. No. I've turned down many opportunities to go to EDC. Yeah. I used to, years ago, I was in a crowd at EDC.
Yeah.
They're all going to pop Molly, and that's where you can't be. And that's why I'd be like, y'all do that on your own time. I'm going to go to the pool party during the day.
Yes.
Lights out, all kinds of security. I'm going to go to a more controlled environment. This is the lane I have to travel in if I'm Ezekiel Elliott. EDC is an ecstasy, Molly, weed, drinking festival. It's everything.
Yeah, it is.
And so Ezekiel Elliott needs to be smart enough to go, that ain't for me. I'm Zeke Elliott. Maybe when I retire and I'm like Jeff Swartz and me and my wife want to go, that's fine. But right now I got one of the biggest spotlights in the world on me. I've already had issues. I'm going into some contract negotiations and things like this. And Marcel, your advice is great. I had never heard that. That's awesome. Give me the number of that therapist. He needs to choose preferred situations as well. And this isn't it. He's going to have to pick and choose where he has fun at. EDC is a drug music festival. It's not for Zeke.
Yeah, let me talk to you about the numbers. We keep talking about, Zeke, you got money coming. Here's the crazy thing that can happen. If I'm the Cowboys, this makes me look at Dak Prescott a little better, and it makes me look at you, Zeke, a little worse. Let me see this. How does this play out? The franchise tag. Zeke is going to play his fourth year this year. Zeke has already been picked up for his fifth year in player option. They can franchise you twice after that before they get the real hit after a third franchise year. Look at these numbers. Cheap. If they want to play you cheap, Zeke, this year you're going to make $4 million. Next year, $9 million. Year after that, $11 million franchise tag. The year after that, $11 million again, because the franchise tag for the deep value running back is actually going south, down. That is a four-year, $35 million deal that the Dallas Cowboys can lay out right now and slow play it year by year to get Zeke under those terms. You imagine in 4 years the talent of Ezekiel Elliott is still under contract while Le'Veon just signed a reduced deal for $57 million. 4 years after that moment, Zeke could be looking at a four-year $35 million, and Dallas doesn't have to blink unless he's in their favor. Moments like this take you out of their favor.
Completely, totally agree.
And then also, you know, he's always been suspended by the NFL, so if they can look in this situation. Look, the video does not warrant a suspension, obviously, but they might look into something else, and you're setting yourself up again to lose money and to lose money, like you mentioned, the franchise. If I'm the Cowboys, I would do that in a heartbeat.
Exactly, and you're giving me reason to do it.
This is what I don't think. All of that money, and there's some restrictions.
Correct.
You start thinking, hey, I want to do what everybody else does. Well, everybody else doesn't make millions of dollars. Everybody else doesn't get to wear the star on their helmet. Everyone else doesn't get the fame and the attention. So there are some things you have to give up. Zeke, EDC, give it up. It's not that big of a deal.
I would have never gone as a player. I agree with you there. but, I mean, if he wants to go, there is a way to do it. Yes, you have to understand as a player, and I don't know what age he will understand this, or what age all of us understand this.
Right.
But eventually, protecting your body and your brand is your number one thing you have to do. And you're not going to be young forever. And to make the money, especially in the NFL, you have to be so buttoned up.
Catino Mobley and Kendrick Perkins are back. Let's talk Kevin Durant, whose teammates are doing just fine since he went down with an injury last series against Houston. Last week, I proposed that his titles with the Golden State deserve an asterisk. And it seems I'm not alone. Chris Broussard said on his radio show that other NBA players think an asterisk may be in play, also saying that Golden State winning without KD would be Durant's worst nightmare. KD tweeted a snarky reply to this theory this morning, writing, "I see a little exaggeration there, buddy. My worst nightmare? You sure that is the worst that it can get?" All right, the question here is, we're going to circle back now that I've been backed up by other NBA players, according to Chris.
Anonymous.
Yeah. But again.
The scariest. Put an address. Say your name. I'll let you anonymous. Say your name.
Name and number.
You're going to say something.
To the two titles, you would have a problem if someone said, hey, they deserve an asterisk.
Yes, I would. You can never take winning the championship for granted. I don't care to how you want to look at it. They still had to go out there and play basketball. At the end of the day, KD went to Golden State. They won two back-to-back championships.
Very easily.
Yeah, finals MVP.
Very easily.
Yeah. Okay, so at the end of the day, he went there and did what he was supposed to do. And like I said before, KD did not recruit himself to Golden State. Mm. Golden State recruited KD.
The success they're having without him doesn't make him look unnecessary.
I mean, they still have an MVP on their team, so they still should have success.
And that's what the point you're trying to make is the success they're having without him. So when KD's not there, then that other MVP says to the world, do we really need you? Now, to us as basketball peers, it's not an easy thing to win championships, let alone be finals MVP twice. But I understand the argument, Chris Bouchard. I understand what, Jason, you're talking about as far as just pushing the envelope, debating about it. Is there an asterisk behind it? I personally think I'd rather see him go somewhere else so this conversation won't have to happen, because it is easier for him when he's in Golden State than it was if he's by himself on another team.
Man, we back here again. Yeah. Here's my problem with it. One, as a non-champion, non-Hall of Famer, I never put an asterisk by someone who climbed that mountain. Mm-hmm. I don't give a damn, because if we're going to start doing that, everyone deserves an asterisk in some form of capacity.
You don't have to be Hall of Fame or win. But as a basketball player with a high IQ, there's guys out there that are winners that literally didn't win championships. Charles Barkley's a winner. Reggie Miller's a winner.
Patrick
Ewing's a winner. John Stockton's a winner.
And there's guys walking around in my sport who have won championships, and I'm like, dog, you didn't even touch the field. Or you've been on the, you didn't even get off the bench, but you are champion.
But I'm saying, you're saying that when you start your conversation, you're saying, well, I was never this, but you were a really good player.
Your IQ's still high. I give you all that, but I feel if I'm not qualified to go there and bring them down, who in the hell is?
But it's just a conversation.
Because I'm outside that room knowing how hard it is to get in
there. But it's just a conversation.
Okay, that's why we're having.
Right. Again, the pads are off now. Football career is over.
It's a wrap.
We're on a talk show.
Yes.
Where we discuss.
Yeah.
Is KD's two titles the equivalent of guys that won two or three that didn't join some super duper team that can win without it?
I'm going to just say this. Well, the numbers would tell me no asterisk. Didn't y'all have a 3-1 lead without KD?
That's one series. This
is when y'all went on y'all plane and came and got me. And then after that, what's the series been? 4-0-4-1. 8-1 in them same finals with me, and y'all were down. Y'all were up 3-1 and couldn't finish without.
That's how easy it was. 8-1.
So what I'm saying
eight
is
8-1 with me.
So for example,
so no asterisk.
Do you put an asterisk behind Ray Allen championship with Miami?
Okay, let me stop you, Kendrick. Ray Allen and Kevin Durant are not on the same platform.
But they're both future.
No,
Hall of Fame.
So would you go with LeBron James?
Kevin Durant is in the conversation as a top 10 player all time.
Okay.
Ray Allen, let's remove him from he's a contributor to titles, not a driving force.
Okay,
now
so
continue.
Okay, so what about when Braun, D-Wade, and Chris Bosh formed the team together? Mm.
That they hadn't won a title previously. LeBron didn't jump to Miami after they had won 73 games, had won a title previously.
But not the year. Not the next year.
Nobody on Miami's team was a two-time MVP. This dude took took his MVP and joined it with a two-time MVP. That's unprecedented.
That's where
it's unprecedented to us, but. I mean, we wanted KD to do something else, but KD did something that was for KD.
It served KD, but
it's so hard to win a title.
Okay, yeah. How about this, Kendrick Marcellus?
Yes, sir.
All the reports are he's going to New York. He's leaving.
Or the Clippers.
So to me, when he leaves, that will be KD putting an asterisk by his titles. They're saying, you know what? I need to do more. That's him saying that. Because
it's just a challenge for yourself, like Kobe always says, and I've learned this from not just Kobe but other leaders out there. Like, you have to challenge yourself. So me going from Houston, you know, to Sacramento and then like saying, okay, I can go to a really winning team or I can just help the Clippers win, right? So for me, that's me trying to challenge myself as a leader, as a player, as a whatever. So in KD and Kobe are in another, you know,
universe.
But at the end of the day, for KD, when you're 40, 50 years old, you're saying to yourself, you know what? I should have had my own team so I can be X, Y, and Z. Inside you, You want to challenge yourself. So I'm just saying, it's just a conversation. Not saying we're diminishing KD greatness in the finals or whatever it is. All I'm saying is, as an individual, when you're pushing yourself, that's one of the things I would want to do to say, you know what? I have my own team. I'm going to New York. We winning it. Now, what y'all going to say to
me? The closest example I really have is still the Kareem and Magic one. Kareem had won a title before, but not with the Lakers. And then Magic comes, and Kareem is not on the court because of injury, and they win a championship, like KD. Are we doing that to Kareem?
Magic?
Because Kareem was the best player on the team.
Magic was a rookie drafted by the Lakers.
Right.
He didn't go, hey, I'm an MVP, and I'm going to join Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
It was one game.
I get it. But at the same time, this situation is, if we going to start slicing, when do we stop slicing?
That's what my whole problem is this. KD still had to go to Golden State and perform at a high level, which he did. And we cannot discredit him for that. Nope. He still went handled his business, got two championships.
I've got the asterisk.
I've got
the asterisk right here. It's here. It's already written in stone. All right, welcome back. Uncle Jimmy's here. Your thoughts on the show so far, Uncle Jimmy?
Thoughts on the show so far. Big dummy of the day. The person that gonna sit up here and wanna tell America about your act of kindness and you losing your virginity. It's an act of stupidity.
That's probably true. All right, here's a highlight from our discussion earlier.
Real quick act.
About Draymond. Draymond's value goes well beyond the stat sheet. In the Western Conference Finals, he's been more impressive and more important than even Steph Curry.
We all got lulled to sleep by Draymond being out of shape or being inconsistent or being emotional. And even Draymond, who I love, has come on record and said, I am playing a smarter brand of basketball.
All right, Uncle Jimmy. As you heard me earlier compare Draymond Green to Jon Snow from Game of Thrones, what's your take?
Hey, man, all I can do is say, Marcellus, thank God Game of Thrones is over.
Say it again, man. Preach. Lord.
Hey, man, if I got to listen to one more stupid-ass story about a flying dragon or a flame-throwing frog, man, I don't know what the hell I'm going to do, man. I want to get back. Hey, man, can we just get back? Because I can't relate to none of that, first of all. Mm. Can we just get back to some stories that I can relate to? Like the good old days when we used to steal cable and watch The Wire?
There you go.
See, peep me game, peep game out on this. Golden State is The Wire. Mm. And Draymond Green is the most memorable and feared character from The Wire, Omar Little. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
He's the big star of the show that nobody saw coming. Mm-hmm. See, when Golden State started, you thought it was Steph and Clay. They was the Beige brothers. Just like when The Wire started, it was Stringer Bell and Avon Barksdale.
Yep, yep.
But when the show was over, who was the most infamous and feared character on there? Omar. See, that's what's going on with Draymond in Portland right now. Hey, everybody in Portland scared of Draymond. Draymond walk on the court doing warm-ups. They just start missing free throws. What the hell wrong with you? Draymond coming, y'all. And you know, Draymond just be playing, man. Draymond be like, all right, y'all. Don't make me come down there and get that rebound. They just throw the ball to him. Now, hold up, peep game.
All right.
Now, Steph is Marlo, what's his name, Stansfield?
Yeah, Marlo Stansfield.
Yeah, straight, baby face, silent, cold-blooded killer.
Killer.
Now, wait. Now, remember what he did to old face Andre? The little storekeeper?
Yeah, I remember.
That's Damian Lillard. See, Damian know he done crossed Marlowe's. He just wanted to get out of town. He said, bro, just give me $2,000, a safe house, and a ride out of Golden State. Steph like, nah, take this with you. Yaka, yaka, yaka. Now, hold on. Now, here, let's get to the good part. Kevin Durant. My favorite character of The Wire.
Me too.
Stringer Bell.
That's right.
Hey, the big star.
Clean.
Hey, pretty boy.
Mm.
Everything. Hey, the show, remember they said, they was gonna kill him. And everybody said the show couldn't go on.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But wait a minute. Now remember we saw the previews. Who killed him? Who was standing in front of him? Omar and brother Boogie Mousain. Hey, man, Draymond been killing KD all season. Soon as he got hurt the last time, hey, bro, Draymond grabbed the team, said, come on here. He turned around and he looked at KD and said, now you take your little soft ass back to New York. Let's go. Now, wait a minute, hold up. Now, roll with me a little bit. Now, who killed Omar? Oh. Some little young Thundercat.
Canard.
Hey, them just the rules on the street, right? Mm. Draymond gonna be standing there buying him a pack of smokes. Zion gonna come up behind him. Bang! That's just the life of the streets. That's how it works.
That wasn't bad. That wasn't bad.
Hey, y'all like that?
Hell yeah. Hey,
that's why this show need to be called Speak for Yourself with Uncle
G. We ain't like it that much.
All right, no, we didn't.
Here you go.
My approval rating on Draymond Green goes up 9 points. There you go. 24 in job performance, 19 all-time greatness, 14 in character, 22 authenticity, 79 almost GOAT status.
Exactly, almost GOAT status. Team still runs through KD, Steph, Clay, but Draymond is the fuel. Had to go up on character. You're a little low on his character. He's righting his wrongs.
He beat up a college kid, Marcellus.
Damn, that was a long time ago. And we did an approval rating for him before. Yeah, use that against him then, not now. I mean, yeah, the kid is already healed. Why would you heal?
Beat up a college kid.
Oh, good.
Draymond's a bully.